Thank you for your willingness to minister. Praise God. I appreciate our youth group, don't you? All right. Praise the Lord. We got a great group of students, and I appreciate them immensely. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and then also 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Praise God. I want you to know tonight that God's got a plan for you in this service. Amen. And just listen to the voice of the Lord as He speaks to your heart tonight. And we'll see what God has in store for us. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 and 29. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Amen. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 18. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you for a few minutes tonight on you belong. Amen. You belong. Praise the Lord. Pray with me tonight. I need the Lord's help. Amen. And I need you to pray for me. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you, God, for all you do for us. I thank you, Lord, for this message and the burden you placed on my heart for it. And I pray, God, that my words be few and yours many, and you would minister to our hearts. Help us to hear your voice right now. We pray that your will be done. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We know, God, you have a plan for this service right here and now. Lord, move in the altars. Just help us to just give you everything we have and help us to take time to listen to you. We love you, Jesus. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. God, help us. I do want to preface this by saying that that the Lord has laid this on my heart several weeks ago, and I just felt like it was appropriate to preach tonight. And I say that because I don't want anybody in here to think that people confide in me as a youth pastor. And so I fear sometimes that they think, I just talked to him about that, so he's going to preach that, you know. I want you to know, if you talk to me about anything regarding this type of sermon, that it's not you I got my sermon from. It was from the Lord several weeks ago. And God is going to meet us here. Amen. Praise the Lord. One time I was driving along the highway, and if you're like me, you tend to look around at the sights. My wife will tell you that when I look around, I swerve this way and that way, and it causes problems. Amen. We got to draw some lines, Brother Jones, and you know. I tend to look around at the sights, and one particular occasion I was driving, I believe on Interstate 70 or 71, I don't remember which road it was, but I was driving down the highway and looking around. And you know what? All there was to look at was a bunch of cornfields. Cornfields aren't very interesting, are they? Unless you are a fan of corn, I guess. But I was looking around. There wasn't anything but cornfields, so it was kind of boring. But one cornfield stood out to me, and something caught my attention in that cornfield. There was something in that cornfield that was out of place. It may have been the worst item ever out of place in history. There was a white porcelain toilet in the middle of the cornfield. A toilet does not belong in the cornfield. It didn't belong there. I have no idea why they put it there. Probably to catch somebody's eye and make them laugh. Or maybe to give someone a sermon illustration. Amen. The other night I was playing outside with the kids, and I've told several about this event that happened in my life this week, and it was a sad occasion. I was hitting a tennis ball with a racket, and I like sports. I like to play sports, and so we were outside playing, and me and Katie were going to try to go play some tennis, even though we're not good at it, but we were going to try anyway. And we were waiting on Katie. She was on the phone with her mom, so I was out there hitting the ball up in the air and volleying it around, and the kids were amazed. I mean, I was hitting it so high, and they were like, wow, you know, so I was just kind of getting in the moment, you know what I mean? I was just like, it was intense for me. And so I was hitting that ball up, and I would run and hit it again. And I was like, I'm not going to let this ball hit the ground. All right. So that was my goal. And one time I hit it a little bit too far away. And so I had to run as fast as I could, which isn't very fast. But I was running, and I was giving it all that I had. And I was running, and where I was that field. Y'all have been to camp. That field that's next to our house, the one on the right there, this right side of the driveway. I was running through that field. And if you've seen that field, there's some out-of-place items called rocks in that field. I mean, they are boulders. They're huge. And I was trucking it, man. I was looking up. And the problem was my focus was up there and my legs were on the ground. And all of a sudden, I glanced down and there was a rock there. And I ran full steam ahead into that rock. I'm a big dude and I can move a lot of things, but I didn't budge that rock. And I went flipping over that thing, rolling in the grass. I got up as soon as I could, man, and I just hopped on one foot all the way to the porch. I thought I'd fractured my leg. I mean, I was hurting so bad. I mean, it was a horrible occasion in my life. And I was grimacing in pain. I didn't know what to do. I was about to go to the doctor. I mean, it was hurting bad. And the thing I was thinking was, who put that rock there? It doesn't belong there. Why didn't they move that rock? So we have a project at camp this week. Amen. It didn't belong there. A few months ago in youth, several months ago, probably about a year ago, we put out a questionnaire asking our students here if they felt that they belonged in their families and in their schools and their church and in their youth group. And several made it known on their papers and their answering of those questions that they have no sense of belonging in certain of those areas. Several said, I don't feel like I belong in my family. Some said, I don't feel like I fit in at school. Some said, I don't feel like I'm accepted in our youth group. And some said, I don't feel like I belong in any of these. And that broke my heart. Because I want all of you to know, not just the youth, that you belong here. You belong here. You're not out of place when you come to this church. You belong here. Convincing people that they belong in God's kingdom, in the church and in the family of God, or in the youth group, or in their position of ministry, it can be a challenge to convince them of that. Because there are so many things that fight against that sense of belonging. I believe the devil knows that if he can challenge you in that area of your life and he can begin to get you to doubt that you belong someplace, if he can begin to get you to feel like you don't belong in God's kingdom, that he begins to fight and wiggle his way in there and try to find you a place where you feel like you belong. And it's outside of these walls at times when he does that. You know, feeling out of place is no fun. Have you ever felt out of place? Raise your hand if you've ever felt out of place. Wave at me. I mean, come on. Y'all wake up. Good. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was at not really a party. I guess when you're a Christian in a youth group, you don't really have parties as the world would say. But we were at a bonfire and a get together. And me and a couple of my friends had gone golfing that evening. And they said, hey, let's go over here to this house. They're having a bonfire and a youth get together. And I was like, okay, let's do it. You know, I was driving and I felt like they want to go, so I better go. And we did that. And I felt so out of place there. I mean, it was one of the most boring times of my life. They were sitting around singing and playing the guitars and things like that. And you know, these are things that I have done and can do. But I was I'm kind of backward when it comes to settings that I'm not familiar with. And so I felt so out of place and uncomfortable, and it drained me. You know what I mean? It drains you when you feel out of place. And it causes pain when you don't feel like you fit in. But I want you to know again that you belong. Amen. You belong in the kingdom of God. You belong here. You belong in Ignite Youth Group. You belong in your family. Praise the Lord. You belong. Praise God. Your Sunday school teachers that are here tonight, maybe you've been teaching for years and you're beginning to doubt whether or not you're making an impact. And you feel like you don't belong there anymore. Let me tell you, you belong here. Amen. Maybe you parents feel like you're out of touch and on the sidelines and on the outskirts. And you don't feel involved and you feel like an afterthought. Let me tell you, you belong here tonight. Praise the Lord. Maybe students, you feel like nobody's willing to give you the time of day. You belong here. Those of you struggling with the call that God has placed on your life, let me tell you, you belong in His plan and in His kingdom. Praise God, you belong tonight. I've been in several situations in my life, and I don't want to call attention to myself or my family, but we have been in places where we have asked ourselves, what are we doing here? Why do we belong here? I mean, when I got out of Bible school, when I was a freshman at OBI, I left and went to my dad's church to kind of help him and just kind of bear the load with him for a little while. And while I was there, I can't tell you how many times I sat in my room and said, what am I doing here? Do I belong here? There were times when after we had gotten married that we sat in our home and questioned and wondered, God, what is your plan? What are we doing here? Do we belong? Do we have a place? And later I found out that God had a plan for us and for me while we were there where we were. Praise God. And I understand now that yes, I did belong. All this time, I did belong. Amen. And even though sometimes it's hard for you to see where you fit in to God's plan and where you fit in to the group and where you fit in to your family and where you fit into your church, let me tell you, God wants you to know tonight that you belong. Amen. You belong here. Praise God. You belong. Hallelujah. Now, there are some places you don't belong. You don't belong as a part of this world. We are in this world, but not of this world. You don't belong in the party scene. You don't belong in the cheating scene. You don't belong in the selfish area. Amen. You don't belong there. That's not where you belong. The devil wants to make you believe that's where you belong, but that is not where you belong. You don't belong in the hog pen. Everybody said amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. The prodigal son, you know where he belonged? The father's house. You know what happened when he got out of that area and he began to find another place to fit in and to belong in? He found himself in the pig pen. In a place that was dirty, in a place that was ridiculous for a man of his stature, in a place that was lonely, in a place that he was unfamiliar with and uncomfortable with, in a place that caused him to do things that he would never have had to do had he stayed where he belonged, in the Father's house. You don't belong in the hog pen. You don't belong in chains. You don't belong in the prison. You don't belong there. Now, granted, there are times in the Bible we read where men of God were arrested and placed in prison. But each and every time, God turned that out for something good. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is you don't belong under the chains and authority of sin. Can I hear an amen? You don't belong in those things that you got rid of a long time ago. You don't belong there. You don't belong being tied down and battled with chains on the inside under demonic oppression, under Satan's authority and victory, but rather you belong as a child of God, standing up in the army of the Lord. You belong in a better place. You belong fighting for the right. You belong on the victor's side. You belong on His side. Amen. You don't belong in this world. You don't belong in the hog pen. You don't belong in the chains. Rather, you belong in a place of freedom. You belong here. You belong here. Praise God. The thing is, as Christians, we get in a hurry sometimes when we start to feel out of touch. We get ready to make a change. Well, I haven't felt God in a while, so I think I'll go down the road. Don't do that. You belong here. Well, I haven't heard God speak to me in a while, so I think I'm going to try finding a plan for my life in the horoscope section of the newspaper. That's drastic, but it happens. You don't belong there. You belong right here. Hallelujah. So don't get hasty with your decisions tonight or any time when you start to feel like everybody's passing you by. Because God has something for your life. And you belong with Him. Praise the Lord. Now we read that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. And we find that we are all members of one body. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. Aren't you? I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. There's nothing greater than being a part of the family of God. But one member cannot say to the other that there is no need of it. And one member cannot say to himself or herself that there's no need of me. And that's what Paul's getting at here. He's trying to let us realize that there's a need for the hand and a need for the foot. There's a need for the smallest toe. There's a need for the ear. There's a need for everything. Praise the Lord. Now there will be some who may make you feel like you don't belong. There may be some people who make a face when you come around. Man, they don't want me here. I recall one lady who was battling a sickness in her life. And because of this sickness, it made her appearance change in a way that some thought different of her. And they begin to judge her and make her feel like she didn't belong, even though it was a sickness that was ravaging her body and not something worldly. Maybe somebody says a word and made you feel like you didn't belong. Let me tell you, you belong here. Don't listen to that. All right, you belong here. Listen to me. Amen. You belong here. In the story of David going to battle, we find that he is in a dialogue with his brother. But there's three people involved in this dialogue. And that seems odd because a dialogue is between two people. But I want to point out a third person to you tonight. But we want to look at the first two here, Eliab and David. And I just want you just for a brief moment, look at them with me. Eliab was there with his brother. Now, David had been sent by his father, Jesse, down to the battle scene where Goliath was waging war and the Philistines were battling against the Israelites. And so David comes with a meal for his brothers who are fighting the battle. He leaves the fields with the sheep and he goes down to the battle scene. And as he gets there, he recognizes that there's this man out in the valley there who is posing a threat to the Israelites and saying, you know, you come out here and fight. I'll fight whoever you send. And he was blaspheming God and cursing God, cursing the people of God. And this struck a chord in David. It made him mad. I mean, he got aggravated. He was wondering, why in the world are you guys sitting here letting this man treat us like this? We have to fight. We've got to go in the battle. We've got to do what we can. And Eliab heard him speaking to the other men at the battle. And Eliab, David's brother, was angry with David. The Bible says his anger was kindled with him, and he began to talk negatively to David, trying to make him understand, David, you don't belong in this place. Eliab represents the naysayers. What are you doing here? Why are you at this place? What? No, who invited you to this party? Why are you here at this battle? The naysayers can be in the form of different things. They can be in the form of people who question motives. Why have you come? David, I know you came here just so you could see the fight. David, I know you're just a little boy. You're immature. You've come here just so you can say you saw somebody get killed, so you can just get involved in the glamour of the battle. You know, David, why? You don't even have a reason to be here. Get out of here. Naysayers can be in the form of circumstances, things that try to make you feel like you don't belong. Things that are too big to handle, like Goliath. I mean, David could have looked at him and he could have said, man, I better turn around and go back home to my dad because this guy, if he kills all these soldiers, if he starts taking these men one by one, I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to die. I don't belong here. No, I'm going to go. You ever been in a circumstance that made you feel like you were in the wrong place? Maybe emotions and feelings can convince you that you don't belong. I believe Pastor taught on that about lies of our feelings. Eliab was one who wanted David to realize, David, you don't have a place here. David, you don't belong. But one thing about David, the second guy in this dialogue, David had a resolve about him. You know? You ever see that? I mean, David was the younger brother, but David knew what had happened when Samuel came to his house. Amen. And David knew God had a plan. David had been out there fighting. He had seen a bear come and a lion come and he had strength from the Lord to win the fight. Praise the Lord. And so David said, you know what? You may say I don't belong, but I have a reason for being here. You know, that David represents you tonight. You need to be the one that says, you know what? Even though I feel like I don't belong, even though God's plan seems like it's something that's passing me by, even though I feel so unworthy and I feel like I'm going to just mess up everything. And I feel like if I take a step in faith, I always meet with failure. You need to stand up and say, but I belong. Amen. Amen. I'm not just preaching about you belong at this church. I'm preaching you belong in God's kingdom and God's plan. You belong in His service. Praise the Lord. You belong. I'm hitting a lot of things. Praise the Lord. You belong. A lot of things can come at you, man. But David said, you know what? All those things come against me. He looked at his brother and said, man, what have I done? Why are you even thinking these things? I haven't even said anything that was wrong. I've just said we can stand up for our God and for ourselves. Why are you questioning me? Is there not a cause? Don't I have a purpose? Don't I have a reason? And you know, I believe David, oh man, something awesome about this. Yes, Eliab spoke with David and David spoke with Eliab. But there was a third man that was involved in this that doesn't come into view in those two verses. And that's the father. Jesse had sent David for a reason. And for a purpose. And even though nobody knew why David had come, even though they assumed David was just there to waste space, and he didn't really belong, and he was too young to fight in the battle, and he should have been doing the grunt work at the house, David knew that he was sent by the Father, and he belonged at that place, at that moment. Praise God. Let me tell you, you've been sent here by the Father. Amen. Like Mordecai, he spoke with Esther, and he said, for such a time as this. Esther, I know you don't feel like you belong in the palace, but God has raised you up for a reason and for a purpose. Esther, you belong there. And I believe with all my heart that David had that same resolve in his heart. He said, you know what, Eliab, you may be saying I don't belong. And Saul, your armor may not fit me just right, but I know my Father sent me here for a purpose and I belong here. And it wasn't just Jesse who had sent him. David believed he had been sent by God. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. David knew, yeah, my father sent me and I believe in obeying the authority of my father and I'm going to do what he said. And Eliab, you can tell me what you want, but I'm going to deliver you this cheese and this stuff that I brought to you. But I want you also to know, I believe God has sent me here and I'm going to go fight that giant. Amen. Even though I'm only a little boy and all I have is a sling and some stones that I picked up on the way over here. I believe in the power of God and I believe in His anointing. And I believe that what He called me to do, He'll keep me to do it, praise God. So let me have at that enemy. Let me go against that giant. Why? Because I belong here. God ordained it. God ordained you to be where you are. And you don't feel like that tonight. Because of all these things that have caused you to think otherwise. But the Spirit of God that spoke to your heart when you got saved, when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, when you felt God give you a burden for the ministry of this church, when you felt like God told you to work with the wee kids and the PFL, when you felt like God called you to missions, and when you felt like God told you to give in to Camp Blessing and to work and to be faithful and be a member and do what God called you to do, when you felt like God told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, let me tell you, that was not something that just was passing time. And it wasn't just a feeling that you get because you're a Christian. Rather, it was God speaking to you and telling you, you've got a reason for your existence. And let me tell you, you belong right where you're at. Amen. If you're serving God faithfully, you belong there. Now, some of you, you may have gone astray. You may be in the hog pen, but you know where you belong. Amen. You don't belong there. You belong in the kingdom. You belong in the Father's house. You belong with the Lord. Hallelujah. God ordained it. Praise the Lord. So when Eliab comes against you and says, you don't belong here, you need to look him in the face and say, there's a cause, and I do belong here. I've seen a lot of people who felt like they didn't belong someplace, get up and walk out and leave a little too early. And only if they would have stayed and held on a little while longer, they would have realized God had great plans for them. Don't do that. You belong. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands right now. Jesus, we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we belong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was blessed to grow up and go to churches that one, my grandpa pastored a church, and then my dad pastored a church. And there was a lot of times when I felt like I didn't belong in doing some things that I did there. I mean, I would try to get up on the drums, and I would mess up ruthlessly. I was bad. But they always would encourage you to get back up and remember that you belong. You may have messed up and made some mistakes. You may have done some things that you regret. Let me tell you, you still belong in the kingdom of God. God so loved the whole world that He gave His only Son. That ought to tell you that you belong. Don't listen to the lies of Satan. God is not through with you. Praise the Lord. Stand with me tonight. Sister Madeline, will you come to the piano for us? Three things that I want you to do tonight when you pray. Don't do this for me. Do it for God. Do it for you. Part of belonging. As you have to realize there will be times and seasons where you just feel like nothing's going your way and you just feel like you're so out of place. There will be those times. And that's the reason God sent me with this message tonight, is so you will know right now that you belong. Amen. One thing, be patient. Be patient and let God work in your life. Let God open the doors. Let God guide your heart. Let God direct you. Okay? Be patient. Number two, be obedient. Be obedient to God. The Bible says obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. God's not looking for the big thing. God wants you to be obedient in the little things, and He'll lead you to do something greater later. Be obedient. And lastly, be faithful. Be faithful. One way you'll keep your sense of belonging is by being faithful to God. Even when you don't feel like it, you got to come to His house. Even when you don't feel like it, you have to get up and pray and worship His name. Even when you don't feel like it, you've got to pay attention to the Word of God. Even when you don't feel like it, you have to live right, live holy, live true. Even when you don't feel like it, be faithful. And the season of not feeling like you belong will pass. And God will do something great in your life. And you'll understand that you do belong here. Praise the Lord. You belong here. I'm almost done. I just want to tarry for just a moment here. That's all right, ain't it? Lord, help us right now, God. There are people who they have so lost that sense of belonging. Well, I have a cousin who the other day on Facebook, he said, I just want to kill myself. Because of his family life, his home life, he feels like he doesn't belong and that there's no purpose for his existence. And there may be somebody in here tonight who feels that kind of desperation. You belong here. Don't believe the deception that Satan has told you, that you're worthless and you need to just take your own life. Let me tell you, you belong here. You belong here. I'm not saying that just to pass time. I'm saying it because I feel like the Lord wants somebody to know you belong. And if you'll just trust in the Lord, if you'll come to this altar, God will remind you how important you are to Him. He'll wrap His arms around you because you belong. Praise the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't look around right now. This is important. Who will raise their hand and say, Pastor Cruz, I just feel like I don't belong anywhere. Raise your hand right now and say, I've been struggling with that. I feel like I don't belong. I feel like God's plan for me is gone. I just feel like there's no purpose for my life. I feel like I don't belong. Hands all over this place. You belong. You belong. You belong. Hallelujah, Jesus. So what I want to do, I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I would like us all to come and find a place to pray. And just really, those of you who raise your hand especially, come up here right now and just find a place. And just seek God. Seek that sense of belonging. Seek Him. Because you belong here. You belong. You belong in His kingdom. You belong in His presence. You belong in His plan. You belong. Hallelujah. Everyone that will, come and find you a place to pray. Pray with those who came up here first. They need your help. They need your prayer. They need your support. They need your encouragement. Jesus, I pray you'd help each one, Lord, that came and raised their hand. Lord, that you would just help them to know they belong, God. Remind them, Lord Jesus, that you have a plan and a purpose for them. That you have a plan for their lives. That God, they're created, Lord. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. They're created with an purpose in mind. And God, you're able to keep them until that day. Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus.
See the light of day.